At the Gospel of John this day, John chapter 21 and verses 1 through 7b. And that's just the first part of that verse, 7b is. I guess that should be 7a instead of 7b. All right, beginning here, the Gospel of John. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. What a wonderful word of the Lord. Now, I've been preaching on, and next week we'll end this sermon series on the first words of Jesus after the resurrection, from the beginning at Easter Sunday of Jesus calling out Mary, which gave proof of his life. He was breathing and so showed that he came from death into life, to meeting with the disciples, all but Thomas at that point, and just saying, "Peace be with you," showing that God, who could have come angry and upset and sought to destroy those that were closest to him for betraying him, instead offers peace, friendship, fellowship, forgiveness. And then on to Thomas, where he says to Thomas, who was doubting, who had said, "I won't believe unless I put my hands in the holes of your hand and my fingers in the hole in your side." Jesus presents himself, opens up and shows the holes, and just doesn't leave it there for his sight, but that he would actually have to touch the holes in his hands and in his side. And Thomas becomes not doubting Thomas, but believing Thomas. And that we too can believe because of the witness of Thomas and so many others, their eyewitness accounts. And so we come to today, to this about cast your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat. And then next week, to conclude with Peter and saying, "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And what those words mean to Peter and to us. How many of you have ever watched the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? Y'all recall that? Well, for those of you who haven't seen this wonderful movie, look it up, watch it, you know. It's about Bill Murray, who's a TV reporter, and he's gone out to report on Puxtehannie Phil and whether or not he will see his shadow that day. And there's thousands of people gathered, and he's just bored with this. And as he goes through the day and the events of the day, and he wakes up for the next day, it is the beginning of Groundhog Day once again. And no matter what he does throughout that day, over and over again, it repeats itself. Groundhog Day, Groundhog Day. The alarm goes off at 6:30 in the morning, and it's Groundhog Day again. And everything is staged, and nobody remembers anything except him. And it's Groundhog Day once again. He can yell at somebody, and the next day they don't even know that they yelled at him. He could say something to somebody, they don't know the next day that he did anything. He can learn to play the piano, on and on and on it goes. And it's the same thing over and over again. At 6:30 in the morning, it begins again as Groundhog Day. Do you ever feel that way in life? That life has become such a monotonous routine that every day just seems like it's going through another day. Oh, I've awakened, and this is the routine that I'm going through once again, day after day, month after month, year after year. And those years go by, and maybe you're at a point, maybe people that you know are at a point that they've gone through that so much that they just tend to just be letting life dictate to them every day of the week, every day of the year. God wants us to have so much more than that. There are routines that are important and valuable to us. Coming to church, that is an important routine. We don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. Those things are good. Coming to Sunday school, those things are good. Maybe having a meal together with your family, those things are good. Don't let those routines go. Maybe it's having, you know, good conversation with your children. Don't let those things go. Maybe it's your prayer life. Don't let those things go. Those routines are good. And it's good and exciting to wake up to those kind of routines. They're not monotonous. They are life building and encouraging. But to those things that just become routine in your life, and you're trying to find, God, what do you want me to do? What purpose do you want me to have? You know, we need to pray to God for that purpose in our life. Do you know there was a guy who ate McDonald's for a whole year? I think I would be tired of cheeseburgers after week one, wouldn't you? I mean, it would be, what's on the menu? Big Macs, quarter pounders, double cheeseburgers, McFlurries, fries, making some of you hungry right now, maybe? And some of you are like, nah, I don't like McDonald's at all. But can you imagine that is all you ate? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, McDonald's. That makes some of you who are, you know, having to make the meals or prepare and plan for meals, that would make it a lot easier. Just go to McDonald's, order what you want. But it would get monotonous, wouldn't it? Now, someone told me this morning at Bethlehem that that guy got health issues afterwards. Can you imagine? If that is all you ate, it would, wouldn't it? Like I said, after a week, I wouldn't want to see a McDonald's burger or a McDonald's sign for years and years and years to come. I heard somewhere that Krispy Kreme, this may or may not be true, but Krispy Kreme allows their employees to eat all the donuts they want. And some of you are going, I'm going to apply. But the thing about it is they know that after you eat all the donuts you want, you don't want any more. You're tired of them. And you know, you're not taking the donuts anymore. You're not eating them anymore. Because it gets old. It's kind of a bad routine. I imagine some of us from time to time we get into that down of everything just seems to be, I wake up and it's the same thing. And it's the same thing. God doesn't want you to have life like that. God wants you to have a fulfilled life. God wants you to have a life that's filled with joy. Now, we do have to do some of those hard things from time to time, those mundane things. If you're having to take care of an elderly person, there's no kind of glamorous way of doing that, is there? You just do it. And that's the calling that you have. Changing diapers. Does anybody here enjoy changing diapers? Anybody here ever changed diapers before? Yeah, a few of them. It's not something you enjoy doing, but you do it anyways. You do it in a way that takes care of that child. There's all sorts of things that the church can get caught up in the mundane too. In the things that happen year after year that we do. We can't get caught up in just doing things like they've always been done. We need to be looking at the direction of Jesus in our life for our personal well-being, for our family's well-being, for our church's well-being, for the community's well-being. Keep in mind here that the disciples had been following Jesus for about 3 years. So every day, or every few days, they would wake up with Jesus going, John, Peter, I need you to go over here and do this and say this. They heard him teaching. They saw the miracles. They saw the direction that was given from Jesus to them daily. And now Jesus died on the cross, and they've seen him risen from the grave. And we know from Thomas that 8 days have passed, and here that even more days have passed, that Jesus is here watching them fish throughout the night and has a fire set to cook fish with. And so they're used to that direction daily, and now he's gone. He's just showing up every now and then. He's not giving them direction on a daily basis. And so they began to retreat back to what they were doing before they began to follow Jesus. Before he said, follow me. And for some of these, it was, hey, I know how to fish. I'll just go back to fishing. And so all through the night, they fish, and they didn't catch even one little itty-bitty fish. Not one. Now, for those of you who go fishing, do you like it when you go fishing and never catch anything? Oh, no, no. You at least want to catch one, don't you? You at least want to catch one. So these disciples have retreated back to their old way of living and guiding and direction before they heard Jesus say, follow me, and first called them to follow him some 3 years earlier. They wanted to catch fish. Jerry Clower, y'all have heard me tell from time to time Jerry Clower jokes, and I'm not going to tell them quite like he does, but Jerry Clower tells this joke of a man that a ranger, a game warden, had heard was illegally catching fish and catching lots and lots of fish. So the game warden decided that he would get on the up early in the morning and get up on the lake with the this person, go fishing with them and just see and try to catch them doing something illegal. And so while they're out there on the boat, man strikes up a conversation, and as it goes on, it's just game warden's asking, how are you catching so many fish? And he says, I'll show you. He pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights it, hands it to the game warden, And game warden's like, you can't do this. This is illegal. You can't fish like this. And the game warden's holding the stick of dynamite and the fuse is getting lower and lower. He said, are you going to keep talking or are you going to fish? So he has to throw it out there. And of course, the fish come up. You know, he's caught fish. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out there and do that sort of thing. But they had gone back to just fishing. And God showed them that what they were doing was not going to be productive at all. Not even one tiny fish would they catch. All night long, in their own wisdom, their own thinking, in their own way, probably never had thrown their net out and not even catch just one. Not even one. And Jesus says, they don't know it's Jesus at this point, but they hear somebody 100 yards off from the shore going, throw your net on the right side of the boat. All right, that makes sense. Not. Let me tell you how ridiculous they would have thought this to be. There's a video of some guys that are trying to move water that has gathered in this area, a big, almost pond-like thing, and they're trying to drain it of its water, and they're taking buckets and they're moving it to the other side, but lo and behold, it's also connected back to that pond. So everything they move goes back into the big old pond. They're not dispersing any of the water. Can you imagine a boat couldn't be any bigger than from this side of this pew to this side of this pew. Would fit very easily in this sanctuary. Several of them. Might could hold 15 or 20 people, and definitely a few people that could then bring up the fish to put inside of it. Can you imagine throwing their net all night long on over the side of the boat and not catching any fish? What difference is it going to make to throw it on the right side? Same water. The same lack of fish that are there. But they go ahead and do that. They throw it on the right side, and they catch 153 fish. It's specific. If you go on and read, the scriptures say exactly how many fish they catch. 153, to the point that the net should have broke because it's so weighty, so many fish, but the net does not break. And there's a whole nother sermon in that alone. The net does not break. The 153 fish, some studies have determined or believe that the 153 fish represents the 153 known species of fish in that day. So there's more, but in that day it represented that. It represented abundance. It represented that Jesus Christ had come for every person in this world. And that he was now calling them, these disciples, to be fishers of men. That they had to determine not just to do the same thing that they had been doing before they met Jesus, but as children of God, that they were supposed to do something wonderful, joy-filled, purpose-filled, different. Not the monotony, but something filled with purpose. God has called you as children of God. As you mature in your faith. And I know there's, I know that we're all at different levels. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. I'm not the same Christian I was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Or 40-something years ago. as we listen to God and God's word, we draw closer and closer to Him and His will. But not by staying exactly as we are. Do those things, those routines that are important in building our faith, but change those things that are not building our faith. And so he taught these disciples that they were to be fishers of men. That would be their calling. And what is God calling us to do? Maybe he's calling you to spend more time with your children or grandchildren. Maybe he's calling you to spend more time in prayer over the church or the pastor or Sunday school teacher or the youth in the community of people we don't even know. Maybe God is calling you to start something new. I can't tell you what that is. Only you can, between you and God, determine what that is or the many things it could be. But notice that Jesus waited to the very morning to tell them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. So he will let us stay in that place of frustration even, till we're ready to hear his word. See, the first words of Jesus after the resurrection was just that. This group of first phrasings, and here it is to say, throw your net on the right side of the boat. What about you? What changed in your life when you were saved? Born again? Called Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Now, some people come to faith like that, or so we think. See, I don't think anybody in this world is like that. Because I think God has been at work in their hearts long before they even realize it. That click is when they have made that resolute decision and understanding that Jesus is indeed Lord and Savior. But for a number of other people, it is a gradual being in the Lord and seeing God active in their life. And at some point in their life, they look back and they go. And they have a resolute decision in their hearts. Yes, I am a believer. Look up Charles Spurgeon, one of the great theologians and preachers from the 1800s. Thousands of people, when there wasn't sound systems and air conditioning and all of that and stadiums, he would have thousands upon thousands of people to come and hear him preach, truly a man of God. And he said, it only matters that if you can say in your own heart this day that you are a follower of Jesus, it doesn't matter how you got to that point, only that you can say, I follow Jesus. I'm following after his word. I am willing to hear him say to me, put the net out on the right side of the boat. And I am willing to say yes, just as this beloved disciple says to Peter, after getting all that fish onto the boat and coming in on shore and recognizing and saying, it is the Lord. There is a profoundness in that statement that it is not just him saying, oh, it's James, it's John. It is the Lord. And there's a profound change that's taking place here. To no longer try to do the things on their own, but to seek the will of God. Folks, me included, we can get caught up in the routines. Some routines are good, but some we need to do away with. Some things that we need to change, but we don't know what to change it to until we ask the Lord to offer His word for us. Do you know that today someone was baptized in the Lord today? Sounds kind of strange. I imagine there were thousands of people baptized today in the Lord somewhere around the world. Russell Brand, do you know the name? Some of you do. An actor from England. Kind of aloof, kind of on the cutting edge of things in the world. But today he determined that he would be baptized in the Lord. He said, I can't go on living in this world without hope. Now he was astute to be a Buddhist, and he was also astute to kind of search for other meanings in life. But he found that through reading the Bible and through reading C.S. Lewis stuff about faith, and to hear from a pastor and people that, hey, he heard this, you can be made anew and all your sins forgiven and forgotten. That was profound for him. And now he wanted to give his life to the Lord. It is the Lord who can forgive me and make me whole and make me where I am made anew and the past has no hold on me. Now, I say his name because he will have an impact on a generation of folks who follow him. And they will begin to wonder, what did he learn? What did he do that took him out of that routine that he was doing from day to day to day to day to something different? He didn't want to wake up to that alarm clock starting at 6:30 a.m. and turning it off, and it just felt hopeless. Instead, he wanted to see a bright new day. And that only comes through listening to the guidance and word of Jesus. Let us pray. Well, most Heavenly Father, God, we do indeed thank you for this day. We thank you for the routine of worship. We thank you for the routines of prayer and scripture reading and devotion. And we thank you that you do call us, all of us, including the church and in our families, to do not according to the world, but to do and live according to your purposes. God, help us to do those new things that you instruct us to do. Those valuable things that we can share in the joy and purpose and love and life and the hard things of this world even, but through you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.